Returning to the story we were discussing regarding Biden, the Vice President of the United States. He was making a speech to the Legal Services Corporation, which provides lawyers to Americans who could not otherwise afford them. In his remarks, the Vice President described the experiences of his son, Delaware Attorney General Beau Biden, who was deployed for 1 year in Iraq. You know, he ought not have been in Iraq, Mr. Biden. If it hadn't been for the stupid decisions of the Senate and Congress that you were in, he wouldn't have been deployed to Iraq. He would not have been called up to Iraq. We wouldn't have broken Iraq. We wouldn't have given Iraq to Iran. We wouldn't have inspired the Islamic State. Iraq wouldn't be in three pieces now. Syria wouldn't be at war now. None of this would have happened, Biden, if you hadn't blundered back then, 13 years ago. It's your fault. And yet you want to go blame someone else. His quote was, people would come to him and talk about what was happening to them at home in terms of foreclosures, in terms of bad loans that were being, these Shylocks who took advantage of these men and women while overseas, Biden said. They ought not have been overseas. If you're calling them up because they were in the reserves, they ought not have been taking that money if they weren't willing to go and fight. And if you call them up on stopgap, which is a ridiculous government proposal or plan or edict that makes everyone who is now retired from the military susceptible to recall within 7 years of the time they served, this would not have happened. It's your fault. You should not have invaded Iraq on a pile of lies. Accept the blame. Now, when someone forecloses on a loan, there's only one set of circumstances, only one, which prompts a bank to foreclose on a loan. And that is that the interest and principal are not being paid on that loan. And every bank is going to give every lender the opportunity to resolve the issue. They don't want to foreclose. They want their money back. You borrowed the money. You signed on the bottom line that you would pay back the money. And when you don't do so, they will do everything to encourage you to do so. But if you don't, then the home is collateral. That's all there is to it. You don't get to live in the home if you don't pay the mortgage. It's not the bank's fault. Those are the terms of the loan. It's what you agreed to do. It's the way life is. You're blaming the wrong people. It's revolting. And then on top of all of that, to use an overtly anti-Semitic term, to blame someone when you yourself are to blame. This is the nature of America's governance. That's why it's so reprehensible. Washington, D.C. In one of the Islamic State's first responses to President Obama's declaration that he would degrade and ultimately destroy it, the group released a short video. They did exactly what I said they would do. Late Tuesday, in which it appeared to say that its militants would welcome American ground forces and then would kill them should President Obama deploy them. The timing of the video release was curious, according to This journalist, just hours earlier, President Obama's top military advisor, had told Congress that he would recommend calling out American troops against the Islamic State, actually deploying them, boots on the ground, if the current airstrike campaign was not sufficient. The clip is only 52 seconds long, and it's billed as a preview for a longer video with slow motion replay, quick edits, and high quality video images. It looks like a Hollywood trailer. Oh, it's pathetic. Rather than equating the Islamic State with Islam, rather than making the connection between this response and Islam, they want to tell you that there was slow motion replay and quick edits. It's just pathetic. What's happened to journalism today? Well, the fact is, and I've shared this on this program many, many times, Muslims are arrogant. They are filled with pride. They have nothing to be proud of. I mean, everything Islam touches, it destroys. I mean, they're 1,000 years behind the rest of the world. If it wasn't for OPEC and the work that non-Muslims have done to find and extract and transport oil that oozes beneath their desolate sands, they'd be living in the Stone Age. They're useless in every possible way. But they think they are just really smart. I mean, I had tens of thousands of Islamic emails to me at Prophet of Doom. I finally just eliminated the contact us link at Prophet of Doom. It just got wearisome. And I mean, they write at the level of a foul-mouthed third grader and claim to be great debaters. They all want to meet so that they can physically assault me, my mother, my family. They're just belligerent. And they all have this preconceived notion that they will prevail. Arrogance. They want America to declare war on them. They want America to send its army into them. Obama played right into their hands. The nature of the arrogant religion. And it's all a reflection of the false god at the head of the religion. Muslims model Allah. They reflect Allah's characteristics. And if you read the Quran, you'll find that Allah spends all of his time in hell. He's belligerent. He's arrogant. He's presumptuous. He takes credit for the things that others have done, and he blames others for all of the failings that happen around him. But he is completely impotent. Allah is just like Muslims today, just like Islamic countries today. He's just like Satan, pathetic, fallen, arrogant without justification. This administration played right into their hands. It's what they craved. The video begins with American tanks and troops under attack by fire and American soldiers carrying a wounded comrade into an armored vehicle. Yeah, we lost three times. We lost three times more soldiers, making a bad situation worse in Afghanistan and Iraq than civilians that were killed in 9/11. Now, I don't know how losing 9,000 U.S. troops somehow justifies or is somehow justified by the deaths of 3,000 or avenges the deaths of those 3,000. But that's the way the world looks at things these days. That you killed 3,000 of ours, so we're going to sacrifice 9,000 more of ours and a few $1 trillion to kill some of yours. The images flick by, including a shot of the mission accomplished banner that served as a backdrop on the day that President George W. Bush, King George II, landed on an aircraft carrier 6 weeks after the United States invaded Iraq in 2003. Breaking it. And look how much worse it has become since then. That's followed by shots of Mr. Obama and the White House at night. In the background, Mr. Obama is heard saying American combat troops will not be returning to fight in Iraq. And the screen goes dark, followed by a clip of what appears to be a militant for the group who is preparing to kill men on their knees. The words "flames of war" appear with the phrase, "fighting has just begun. It ends coming soon." There you go. Now, whether or not it was actually produced by the Islamic State, who knows? It's certainly nothing in it that's Islamic other than it manifests the Muslim character and the character of their God. What do you think, Glenn?
Come on, Yada. Admit, those people who email you are not merely great debaters. They are master debaters.
Yes, they are master debaters. Yes, they are. You know, I for a long time, Glenn, I divided the Islamic emails to me and my responses into like 12 different categories. And we had a feedback section where we posted all of the Islamic assaults and characterizations and my responses to them online. Tens of thousands of them. And you know, it reached a point very early on where there was nothing new. Every email fell into one of four or five different categories, and the responses were all the same, and it grew pretty wearisome. But the constant reminder to me when I think of those is that if a Muslim could listen to themselves, if they could look into the mirror and to see what their God and their religion had done to them, how it had destroyed them, that would have been a good experience for them. What do you think?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, we're going to return to Shattering Myths with complete agreement from Glenn after the commercial break. Stay with us. Returning to this story and testimony before the Senate Armed Service Committee on Tuesday, as I shared with you earlier, Senator Martin E. Dimsey, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said the United States and a coalition of nations would defeat the Islamic State, also known by the acronyms ISIS and ISIL, which has seized territory across Syria and northern Iraq. But he would not rule out asking Mr. Obama to send American troops to fight the militants on the ground. In an attempt to quell fears of another Iraq war, President Obama promised in his address to the nation last Wednesday that American ground troops would not be involved in the fighting. And yet, we have 5,000 Americans in the Baghdad embassy. And there isn't a single one of them that is a civilian. And they are either CIA or Department of State. And the Department of State now and the Pentagon operate as one unit. In addition to those 5,000, we have almost 2,000 American troops in Iraq. And this notion that we're sending in our troops and we're sending in our warplanes and we have 5,000 CIA and State Department in the embassy and we're just there to rally the Iranian military that we built, attack and destroy the Sunni militants that we conceived and armed, is rather foolish. Obvious that there was going to be mission creep and that we'd be back into a full-fledged war. And that's precisely what has been happening since Obama first announced that he was sending in troops. It's all been based on so many lies. The worst of them really is the Kurds and playing America and the Obama administration for fools with the hundreds of thousands of Zoroastrians that were poised to be annihilated on a mountaintop by the Islamic State. only for America to fly in the mission and find the only people there to be some shepherds who wanted to remain. We've just been played for fools. We talk about an inclusive Iraq, and yet we are arming all three sides. You really have to wonder if there's any gray matter, if there's a collective brain amongst the entirety of the scoundrels that occupy Washington, D.C., or any of the think towns, tanks, consulting with those scoundrels in Washington, D.C. And it doesn't matter which side of the aisle you're on. The Democrats and the Republicans are equally evil. Disgusting. Counterproductive. This isn't about the Tea Party taking charge and taking the country back. It's not about the liberal Democrats seizing the opportunity to care for the poor and wresting influence away from those greedy Republicans. It isn't about Republicans filling Washington with their zeal for corporate America and desire for lesser government involvement, because, well, they are the hawks. They're the ones that are going to build this military state, after all. They're the ones that want more police, more jails, more prisons, more courtrooms, and certainly more tanks and bombers. We're all in this mess because of Washington. You're not going to resolve the issue in Washington. Glenn, do you agree?
Lying, violent control freaks on both sides of the aisle, you know?
Yes.
All right. It's funny, it's what you just said. It almost, I was wrestling with what I wanted to address. And this all does actually tie together, you know, with the banking system, the monetary system, and all that, and money and greed and all that sort of thing. You had just talked about the Pentagon and the State Department, and fear the role of the CIA in there. It does seem like, you know, Foggy Bottom is pretty much co-opted. It's not the Pentagon, it's the CIA and the NSA, you know. Yeah. The State Department, it does seem to be sort of a pawn, you know, in the military establishment. You look at the metastasis of the CIA, which started out chartered under the Department of Defense with, I think, predominantly the Army, but now it's metastasized into its own autonomous, manipulative entity.
Right. But you look at the porous nature of the division between the CIA, the administration in this country, and the Department of Defense, and also with the National Security Agency, the NSA, and it's just one giant Gestapo trying to control the world and everyone that's in it. General Dempsey said the coalition is the appropriate way forward. It appears to me that the coalition is the wrong way back. We had a coalition. The coalition is what broke Iraq. It was invaded Iraq on a pile of lies, on the weapons of mass destruction, and on the alleged association with Al-Qaeda, neither of which were true. Both lies by George W. Bush, who, you know, is stupid. And yet America elected him, not once, but twice. That's back. We bombed it. Remember shock and awe? We bombed him. We broke the country. We started a religious civil war there. And then we toned down the religious carnage, not from what it was prior to the invasion. It was still up hundreds of fold from where it was pre-invasion, hundreds of times worse. But we definitely toned it down from the high water or low water marks, 2006, in terms of the civil war in Iraq, by arming both sides, by providing a whole army for the Shias and providing weapons for the Sunnis. I told everyone who would listen what would be the consequence of that, that by arming the Sunnis and arming the Shias, that we were certain of having a religious civil war break out again in Iraq. And that's exactly what's happened. It was inevitable. And in this particular case, we're arming the Sunnis and we're arming the Shias. And we're sitting by wondering why they're killing each other. And we think the step forward is to go back to the very policies that brought this condition on that country in the first place. General Dempsey, you are an idiot. Here's the highest ranking military officer in America, and he's a moron, a nincompoop. The coalition is the appropriate way forward when it's a disastrous return to the past that created this problem in the first place. But if it fails to be true, and if there are threats to the United States, then I, of course, would go back to the president and make a recommendation that may include the use of U.S. military ground forces, he says. Well, it's going to prove to be untrue. It is not an appropriate way forward. The Islamic State video did not include any hint of why it was released late on Tuesday night. Leith Akhouri, a senior analyst for Flashpoint Global Partners, a New York security consulting firm that tracks militant websites, said the Islamic State, quote, appears to be more relentless than ever, not only expanding in territory, but also raising the bar in its confrontation with the world's top superpower, end quote. Yeah. They want war. They exist for war. The prophecies of the Quran, the promises of the Quran, are that Muslims would rise up militarily and conquer the world, and that they should do so until only Allah is considered God, until only Muhammad is considered a prophet. In some ways, Mr. Akhouri said, the Islamic State is attempting to prove to jihadists that while al-Qaeda is missing in action, we are rising to the occasion. He said it demonstrates the true intention of the group to operate on an international level. Newsflash. The Islamic State is somewhere between 100 and 1,000 times better armed than al-Qaeda ever was. More successful than al-Qaeda ever was. More popular than al-Qaeda ever was. More numerous than al-Qaeda ever was. They are competing with al-Qaeda. And to say that the Islamic State is in competition with al-Qaeda is like saying that a three-year-old with a pea shooter is in competition with the U.S. Marines. It's ludicrous. The video is the latest. Let me just finish this one thought, and I want to hear yours, Glenn. The video is the latest that the Islamic State has produced as part of its strategy to get its message out on social media. But in the past month, the group has released three videos, which it shows the beheading of Westerners. No, it doesn't. No, it hasn't. There is no beheading in any one of the videos. The group, including two Americans, it has also released videos that have attempted to recruit Westerners. Others have glorified the Islamic State militants who have died in battle. Why? Because Islam gives Muslims a reason to die, but no reason to live. Yes, Glenn.
Well, I was going to say, you know, even multiple conference rooms full of PhD think tanks types, you know, PhDs with computers can be pretty stupid, but even they can be just so stupid. Yeah, one would think, almost sort of think that this has to be intentional at some level.
Yes.
You know.
Well, it is. I don't know if you heard the program I did about 4 or 5 days ago where it was revealed that the Islamic OPEC nations are buying the conclusions that the American think tanks are spouting. That those think tanks are funded by the OPECers. You know, you'll have 100,000 here and 100,000 there from Western countries, and 10 million here, 12 million there, 15 million in the other place, all from OPECers. Their opinions are being purchased. It's very much like the academic opinions that are sponsored at universities.
Exactly.
They're funded. They're funded by the OPECers.
The researcher, who writes the grant gets the research result.
Right. You know? Exactly.
Yeah.
And they're funding the research. They're funding the Islamic study arms of these universities, and so they're directing the output.
Right.
That's what's happened. America's professional opinion is being purchased.
And you know, I always find it amusing that we have that supposedly apocryphal little letter from Albert Pike to Mazzini that says they're going to pit the Muslims and the atheists against the political Zionists, and which also sort of parallels Ezekiel 38 and 39. And it's like, yep, things seem to be moving inextricably in that direction.
Yeah. You know, I think that you could have ascertained that simply by reading the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms.
Precisely, precisely.
An understanding of the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms will foretell a vastly more detailed summation accurate and detailed presentation of the last days than anything else. The focus in the last days from Yahweh's perspective is against nations like the United States, which are essentially agnostic these days, and nations that are Islamic. Prophets are constantly railing against Islam, particularly as it will exist in these last days, and them perpetrating all manner of terror. It tells us even when and where these events will take place and what their consequence will be. So, it's all there for us to read.
Leninist Maoist atheism seems to have gone the way of the dodo for the most part.
Because even in China, which is politically communist, they are a more liberal expression of free enterprise economically than is the United States, as is any country in Europe. So economically, and you know, communism, free enterprise, capitalism, and fascism are as much economic schemes as they are political mantras. And the fact is that Leninist, Tolstoy, communism, if you will, it did not work and it does not exist really anywhere in the world. I suppose you could say that it exists to some degree in North Korea, but
North
look
Korea
at the
Maoist mostly,
and look at the devastation of that country.
Right.
So
right.
You're correct, and I would even say, you know, the John Birch Society always used to promote that the enemy was communism, and that how we all need to as capitalists combat communism. But even back in the day when they were popular, I said, you know, I don't see that. What I see is actually fascism versus free enterprise. And fascism is a vastly more effective tool for those who wish to manipulate others, for the government and the business leaders engaged with government. Fascism is a vastly more effective tool. So you're right. It's communism became meaningless in the agenda. But socialism, particularly as it is integrated with secular humanism, is prevalent. Socialism is prevalent. America is a socialist country economically.
Right.
So socialism, which is principally the redistribution of wealth, taking wealth away from those who are productive, giving it to those who are unproductive to garner favor with the masses, and thereby being able to control those who become dependent upon you, is a prevalent theme in the West, and particularly in America. And it is the slow process to bankruptcy.
That segues nicely into something I was going to say. I've often characterized myself, I've characterized myself as a slightly right of center paleoconservative constitutionalist, you know, Christian, maybe I go there. You know, but then, you know, I realized you know, that even that wasn't working quite right. That wasn't doing the job. And I recently heard another talk show who's recently come on to another network. And he claims to be, he's a Christian, he's a conservative, he's a constitutionalist, a right, you know, moderate right winger, claims to be righting the right. And it's just amazing how, like, you know, 7 years ago, I would have been like, yeah, this guy's practically right in my demographic niche, you know.
Right. Yeah.
But I listened to, like, the proud to be in America, everything's got schmaltzy music. I mean, he's trying to resurrect Reagan-era patriotism.
Right.
And it is just so anathema to anything.
Which is when we destroyed the country. It's, you know, right. Reagan is credited for winning the Cold War, but the fact is, he destroyed two countries. Not only the Soviet Union, but also America, because he bankrupted us. And we're just on a prolonged path to the very demise that was conceived during that era. This is a puzzling outcome. The Ukrainians have granted self-rule to two regions in the east. They would be Donetsk and Luhansk, said that they can create their own laws. They're independent in the sense that the judicial system, the political system, shall be theirs. It's an independent system with self-rule. And that is what's the result of the truce that was negotiated by the world's leading peacemaker, Russia. You know, Russia is the one that resolved World War III when Obama wanted to bomb Syria over the Russian fleet when he removed their chemicals of weapons. And now it was Russia who has came up with the truce that resolved the armed conflict of the Kiev thugs against the pro-Russians in Luhansk and Donetsk. Well, so now the parliament in the Ukraine has granted those two regions in the east their independence. Now, there are those who are the zealots in Kiev that are calling it capitulation. Meanwhile, Russia said that it needed to boost its troops in Crimea because they didn't grant Crimea independence. The rebels in the east have been battling Ukrainian troops since their seizure of a number of towns in April. They didn't seize the towns. They live in those towns. It was the Ukrainian troops sponsored by America that was bombarding those towns. The Ukraine and the West have accused Russia of backing the separatists with soldiers and heavy weapons, although they have shown absolutely no evidence. And it would have been moral for the Russians to support those that were being obliterated by the American-backed Kiev government. At least 3,000 people have been killed in the anarchy that was spawned by America when it supported the anarchists that took over the popularly elected government in the Ukraine and then bribed them with $25 billion, sending NATO in to coordinate their attack against the pro-Russian ethnic majority in the east. On Tuesday, the Ukrainian and European parliaments also voted to ratify a major EU Ukrainian Association Agreement. And why would they do that? And really, why would they do that? The Ukraine is simply a dependent. It's a wayward child. Squandered money. Irresponsible with money. A deadbeat. Why would you want them? Why would you want to be responsible for that? I mean, it's one thing to say, oh, that's my child. You know, it's been my child for years. I know, but I love them because they're my child. But, oh, my God. I mean, they're just this giant hole that you throw money at, and all you get is belligerent behavior. But they're not. They were part of Russia for 300 years prior to the breakup. They're Russia's problem. Russia was even willing to take care of the problem. They were willing to fund their belligerency and their shame and their corruption. So why would the EU want the burden? Why would they want to adopt someone that they know are deadbeats and scumbags? Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko stressed that the legislation giving the special status to Donetsk and Luhansk for 3 years would guarantee the sovereignty, the territorial integrity, and independence of Ukraine, while paving the way for decentralization. Well, you know, when you're taking an entire region and giving them sovereignty, giving them their territorial integrity to be independent, you're not gaining sovereignty, territorial integrity, and independence for the whole that gave up the part. But nothing that anyone in Kiev has said over the last year has been true. Western leaders believe that the rebels shot down a Malaysian airline jet with a Russian missile to charge the rebels, and the Kremlin deny, and it's obvious that the aircraft was shot down. The aircraft should not have been where it was. That's a fault of the United States and its FAA. But beyond all of that, when you create a war within a country, you ought to bear some responsibility for the consequence of that war. And when a country starts using aircraft to bomb civilian towns and cities, it ought to expect people to lash back.